That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to the fifth in a series of NASA podcasts that explores solar eclipses and how humankind's fascination with the moon has been evident throughout history. Today is March 27th, 2006. My name is Troy Klein on location in Side, Turkey. Today's behind-the-scenes podcast will introduce you to three new crew members, our webcast location director, videographer, and a member of our team's education staff. So let's get started with our location director, Nahide Craig. Hi, Nahide. How are you?
Hi, Troy. Fine, thanks. I'm just great. It's a beautiful sunny day, so that makes me feel even better.
Oh, I'm with you on that. Is this your first eclipse that you'll be seeing, or have you seen others?
Actually, I have seen a couple other eclipses. The last one was in Amasya in Turkey, 1999, and I was part of the eclipse expedition then. But I have also seen a total eclipse in Nantucket in 1966 and another one in Portland, Oregon in '80s, but I'm not sure exactly which '80s it was. I don't remember, but I have seen, this will be my fourth eclipse.
I understand the feeling when a total eclipse occurs. It's just overwhelming. Is that right?
It's right. Actually, especially like in August in 1999, it was in the middle of one of the hottest days and in the middle of the day. So the temperature change was more noticeable.
I see.
And I'm hoping that it will be a nice hot day so that you can really see the difference. But the one I saw in Portland, for example, was not such a clear day, but you still, well, you definitely saw the change of the colors and the darkness, but the temperature was not that noticeable because it was already a cool day in Portland, Oregon.
Well, I'm hoping. I think we'll notice the temperature change here in CIDE.
Yes, I think so. I talked this morning with the observatory people here, and they told me the weather forecast is completely clear for Tuesday and Wednesday.
Oh, so that's great.
That's wonderful, yes.
That is incredible. Well, I know that during the webcast, I'll have several activities that students will be doing that you'll also be part of with the students here. One of them is watching a digital thermometer. We have two, one in Celsius, one in Fahrenheit. So the students will actually be recording the temperature change every five minutes or so.
Right. And I think we are bringing some high school students from the local high school, and they will help us with the English translations with the younger kids, and I think they are all very much excited about that too.
Now, what is your actual part in this particular webcast?
Well, it's really exciting. First time in my life, I'm the location director for the webcast, and I was amazed because I never even heard such a wonderful title.
You're like the Julie McCoy of the Love Boat.
So, because I'm originally from Turkey, so because I speak the language, they asked me to help. So I've been actually a location director from the very beginning. We already have been here in October, and I was here last May to scout the location and to find out what is available, get the proper permissions from the mayor, etc.
So much work
there's a lot of work ahead of time, but it's very exciting. And the people of CIDE have been extremely helpful, really very, very kind, and they have done all kinds of supporting work for us, so we've been very lucky, and I hope I was helpful, you know, with my language, translating back and forth, which
That's invaluable,
sometimes
I assure you.
Not even really necessary, to be honest, because so many people speak some English, but there's always a little extra sometimes to know exactly what we're talking about, so...
Well, thank you so much for your time. And how do I say in Turkish, how do I say thank you again?
Teşekkür ederim.
Teşekkür ederim.
Right.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Troy.
I was able to catch up with Julie Conniff, who is also the videographer for the upcoming webcast. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you'll be doing today and over the next few days leading up to the webcast?
Well, I was running around CIDE with a camera, getting a lot of scenics of the Roman ruins and some of the town life and commerce going on. And so we're going to cut together a little B-roll clip for the mayor of C-Day to talk over during the webcast.
So during the webcast, people who are watching will actually see parts of the town and C-Day and the cultural life?
They will.
Now, how long have you been doing this type of work?
Oh my, about 15 years.
Have you ever covered an eclipse like this before, a total solar eclipse?
No, I have never covered any eclipse from the field, only at the other end for the live production in the studio.
So do you think part of the problem during the actual eclipse will be that you're with the camera and the equipment, but the whole time you're wanting to peek and take a look at the eclipse?
Oh, I'm going to peek.
I am too. I just hope I don't forget what I'm doing.
I have one hand on the camera just in case.
There you go. Will you have any help, or are you on your own with what you're doing?
Oh, no. We have how many people? 21 people on the crew.
Okay.
And probably half of that will be crowd control and various assistants.
Now, you were in Chichen Itza with the webcast that happened there, and I remember the amount of work that went into that webcast. And when you mentioned crowd control, that rings a bell, because there, I remember seeing people who they were in charge of simply keeping people and the crowds off of wires and off of lights. Were you part of the webcast when all of a sudden the power went out? Do you remember that?
5 minutes before program, the power went out. The entire place went dark. Their whole power system. So then everybody was, we had generator backups.
Uh-huh.
But no gas for the generator, so it's not going to work.
Right. So it's like 5/4. Where'd the power go?
And then it came back on.
Just magically, like a minute before.
Yeah.
That scared me. I remember seeing that. And I remember I was at the switcher. I was at the switcher at the board. I was asked to do that. So I had my finger on the buttons.
And it just went blank.
And the lights, everything went blank. And I was so scared I would make a mistake, I kept my finger on the button. And
just
then I was so new at this. And when I looked around, everyone was gone. And I saw exploratorium crew and contractors running up lines and filled to total panic. And they made it happen. It actually came back on just in time.
And that was the people of Chichen Itza who ran that site. They got the power out. Nothing we did was going to save it at that point.
Well, thank you for your time.
Sure.
I'm sitting here with Ruth Pagliarani from UC Berkeley, and she is the
Coordinator of Public Programs.
Thank you, and welcome to C-Day, Ruth.
Thank you. What a great spot this is.
It's just
absolutely
amazing.
Exquisite weather. I'm certainly hoping it's going to hold for the eclipse. It'd be great to be able to see it.
I know.
With this kind of a sky.
Well, I understand one of the questions I've been asking people is, if it rains or if there's cloud cover, do we still have a webcast? And the answer is absolutely yes. We'll have backup activities. We'll actually be doing temperature readings.
Uh-huh.
Even though there's a cloud cover, the temperature should change and so on. Now, you are focusing primarily on elementary education. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. I work a lot with elementary teachers. I'm also developing materials for kids in grades 1st through 4th.
Okay.
And I think the eclipse is actually a topic that's really pretty engaging for young kids. There's
I think a lot of
hands-on manipulative things that you can do, and you can build some really cool models and get kids moving things around, and I think that's a way for them to really understand something that's kind of obviously very distant from where they are, and you know, it's not something that every kid sees every day, but after you've built a model around it and you've created ways of multiple ways of looking at it, I think kids really start to understand and are pretty captivated by it.
So actually, if they go to the website...
Yeah, actually the website has got a lot of materials for elementary. There's a very nice collection of materials, I think, that are pretty much ready to go for teachers. As a teacher, you could get there, get to the site, find the section that's marked elementary, and download a number of activities that have been, for the most part, created by teachers, for teachers and the elementary classroom, and they're ready to go. And you'll find that you know, your own little eclipse watchers in grades 1 through 4 can participate just as well as the older set can. So there's a lot there to work on.
And the easiest way to get to those materials is by going to sunearthday.nasa.gov, clicking on Educators.
And then looking in the elementary section, and you'll find a whole, actually quite a lovely combination of hands-on things, of I think there's some great reading materials tucked in there, and just a really nice collection, I think, of teacher-ready materials, and I think kids will really go for them.
That sounds incredible. So there's a little something there for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Even for the little guys.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
And I'll see you in the theater.
You certainly will.
In addition, our curriculum specialist, Elaine Lewis, has prepared a web-based eclipse instructional guide that can be found in the educator section of the Sun Earth Day website. Sun Earth Day is a program sponsored by the NASA Sun Earth Connection Education Forum at the Goddard Space Flight Center and at the UC Berkeley Space Sciences Laboratory. To find out more about the Sun Earth Day program and eclipses, visit our website at sunearthday.nasa.gov.
This is Troy Klein signing off.